It's March the 25th. I'm Dan Kennedy, and we always appreciate you joining us, folks. Thanks so much. And our next guest, we appreciate him being part of our program, Jim Steinman. He is Chief of Water Management for the Army Corps of Engineers here. And I guess, what would it be, this region? Is that how you'd say it, Jim?
Yeah, our district covers the Mississippi River from Dubuque, Iowa, down to through Hannibal, Missouri. And then we go out into Iowa, have the Des Moines River Basin. We have locks and dams on the Illinois River. Three flood control reservoirs in Iowa, but that's a good characterization.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion about the impact that the lock and dam system has on flooding on the Mississippi. The fact that, boy, if you just opened up the dams, you opened up the gates for the locks, that we wouldn't have as big an issue. Any truth to that?
No, it's a perception that's been out there for years. Since the lock and dam system's been in operation, which dates back to the 30s. And after a couple of major floods, like 1965, that even became more of an issue in people's minds. And I think the perception out there is these dams are flood control structures. They can be used for that. And the problem is there's no storage behind the dams. I mean, it's just very little. We store just a small amount of water during low water periods to assure a 9-foot channel for commercial navigation. That's why the lock and dam system was designed for and built for.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we just pass whatever flow is coming down the river, we pass it through each dam. And so we raise or lower look out here at the roller gates, we raise and lower those depending on what the flow rate is. But we maintain a constant level in the pool in order to assure that 9-foot channel is there for navigation, because that's what the barges draft, is 9 feet. And during floods, we continually raise the gates as the flow in the river increases, until finally the gates are out of the water. But we don't do that ahead of time, and the reason, it's ineffective. There's such a small amount of storage available behind these dams. It's not like a flood control dam like at Coralville,
right?
For instance. And so the large volume of water that comes down the Mississippi during a major flood, that small, by draining the pools, it would just have no impact.
Mm. I guess, let me put it this way, because I guess I've always heard that a bigger problem are these flood walls that are being built along the Mississippi to protect towns.
The flood walls don't really have an impact other than a very localized impact right at the location. And actually, all of the floodplain regulations in Iowa and Illinois, when a levee is designed, they can only, or any kind of structure goes in the floodplain, they're not to raise the water surface more than a small incremental amount. So that really is not an issue as far as it's to protect those towns. And of course, that's back in the 70s, a lot of those local flood protection projects came into existence. For instance, the one in Rock Island.
Right. So if you opened up all the locks and all the roller dams, it really wouldn't have much of an impact on the river level when it came to flood time.
That's correct. And again, it's a volume issue. In 1969, after the 65 flood, the Corps of Engineers asked the Iowa Institute of Hydraulic Research at the University of Iowa to do a study to show the impact of what would happen if we raised the gates of the dams early in advance of a flood. And that study showed absolutely no impact.
Really?
And they used the 1965 flood as a model for that study, and they also looked at other flow rates as well to determine if there was any impact in it. And it less than flood flows, it does have, you know, it would make 2 or 3 inches of difference. But when you get into flood time, the volume of water is just too great for it to have any impact at all. And a good example that they use in the report as an analogy to kind of simplify the concept is a bathtub. And, you know, you have a drain that's sized that when you turn on the faucet, the water just keeps draining down and you don't fill the bathtub. Well, then let's say you block the drain partially and maybe you have a few inches of water starting to build up in the bathtub. Well, then you take that blockage away from the drain and the water level stays the same because the drain is sized to pass the inflow until you block the drain again. Or if you have, let's say, now instead of just having the faucet on, you bring in a fire hose and you fill that bathtub. Well, the bathtub is going to, you know, in probably a few minutes overflow, and pretty soon your bathroom is going to be flooded in several hours and maybe your whole house. Well, whether you started with a few inches of water in that bathtub or you started with it empty, it really doesn't, or even if the bathtub was full for that matter, the volume of water coming in is so much greater than that drain, or if you liken it to the Mississippi River, to the channel capacity of the river, it's a real good illustration, I believe.
I'm speaking with Jim Steinman. He is with the Army Corps of Engineers. He's the chief water management guy for the local district here. Why do you think that this story has held on for so long?
I just think, you know, it's, you know, probably if I didn't have an education in hydraulic engineering and civil engineering and specializing in hydraulics and had experience with this, I might have the same opinion. You know, I mean, you can look out at the river, you see the lock and dam structure, and you think, oh, that could be used. In fact, growing up, I thought they were for flood control. I didn't know the difference. So I think it's just, again, just a perception.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning and kind of setting the record straight, because, like I said, there's been a lot of conversation about it, and we just wanted to make sure people had good information and you know, knew what exactly was going on.